Turn with me to the book of Revelation chapter 7. I was assigned this chapter, this great chapter in this marvelous book. And we'll read the entirety of the chapter this evening. And I will do my best to go through it as simple as I can, as simple as my mind is as well. So bear with me. Revelation chapter 7, beginning of reading of verse 1. After these things I saw four angels standing at the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the winds should not blow on the earth, on the sea, or on any tree. Then I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God. And he cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was granted to harm the earth and the sea, saying, "Do not harm the earth, the sea, or the trees till we have sealed the servants of our God on their foreheads." And I heard the number of those who were sealed. 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel were sealed. Of the tribe of Judah, 12,000 were sealed. Of the tribe of Reuben, 12,000 were sealed. Of the tribe of Gad, 12,000 were sealed. Of the tribe of Asher, 12,000 were sealed. Of the tribe of Naphtali, 12,000 were sealed. Of the tribe of Manasseh, 12,000 were sealed. Of the tribe of Simeon, 12,000 were sealed. Of the tribe of Levi, 12,000 were sealed. Of the tribe of Issachar, 12,000 were sealed. Of the tribe of Zebulun, 12,000 were sealed. Of the tribe of Joseph, 12,000 were sealed. Of the tribe of Benjamin, 12,000 were sealed. After these things I looked, and behold, a great multitude which no one could number, of all nations, tribe, people, and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes, with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, saying, "Salvation be to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." And all the angels stood round the throne, and the elders and the four living creatures fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, "Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom, thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen." Then one of the elders answered, saying to me, "Who are these arrayed in white robes, and where did they come from?" And I said to him, "Sir, you know?" And he said to me, "These are the ones who come out of the great tribulation and washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, they are before the throne of God, serve Him day and night in His temple. And He who sits on the throne will dwell among them. And they shall neither hunger any more nor thirst any more. The sun shall not strike them, nor any heat. For the Lamb who is in the midst of the throne will shepherd them and lead them to living fountains of water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." And so this evening we have this daunting task of this chapter. And I will tell you that the more I looked into it, the more I realized I don't know anything. I could hope for it, brother. I wish. Amen, brother. So here we find ourselves in this portion, in this great heavenly scene. It's a continuation of what previously has happened. We have John describing to us this great scene in heaven in the throne room of God. And someone already intimated that, I believe it may have been Keith. The purpose of this chapter is to answer what happened previously in chapter 6. There, when the kings on the earth would cry and say, for the great day of his wrath, of the Lamb's wrath has come. And the question goes out and says, who is able to stand? They cried out to the mountains to fall upon them. And they cried, who can stand before the Lamb? And in this chapter, we have that answer. And so this chapter begins with four angels who hold the four winds that are on the earth. And you ask yourself, what are these four angels and what are these winds? And there's a lot of speculation out there, but I can only tell you what Scripture tells me. And it may not be completely concise, but I know that in Jeremiah chapter 49, there, when Jeremiah is told of that city of Elam and when it was judged, it says that the four winds came and judged that city. And it was scattered and spread across the earth. So when we look at these four angels, we're talking about the judgment, the wrath of God upon the earth. And so we see this fifth angel come to the scene and cry out to these four and says, hold, stop, hold the wrath of God, hold the storm of the wrath of God. For we have not sealed all the servants of God. He had the seal of God in his hand. Now the question goes out, what is this seal? And I would have you turn to Revelation chapter 14, which you're familiar with there. There in that scene, it says, that when it describes the 144,000, there on their forehead was marked what? The name of the Father. And you see these angels were commended to go out. Now, the question goes out, where is this fall in the chronology of that last week, of the great week of tribulation? Does it come before, somewhere in the middle? I honestly cannot tell you definitively. Maybe there's brothers here that could. But I know this, that the angels were sent to seal these men. And they were to be witnesses through that revelation. Through that tribulation, they were to bear witness of God and His Lamb. You know, one commentator went as far as saying and intimating that these men were like Paul. Who preached to these men, the commentator would say? Was it the church? Well, no, it can't be the church. The church is raptured, he says. The church is in heaven. Who told these Jewish men concerning the Lamb? Well, it's these angels. And he would go on to intimate, and it's quite a daunting task or thing to think about. To have 144,000 Pauls running around upon earth. Quite an amazing thing, right? You know, chapter 14, that's a portion for another brother, so I don't want to go into it too much. But it describes these men. They're men without fault. Men who did not know a woman. But they solely followed the Lamb. They solely followed the Lamb and the Lamb only. Now, I hope that cries to your heart as it does to mine. Do we walk this earth solely, wholly following the Lamb? Or do we get distracted with the things of this world? It's also interesting to note, in verse 4 it says, and I heard the number of those who were sealed. John didn't see the 144,000, he heard the number. It's important to note because the context or the scene that we're in heaven, we're not on earth. If this scene was on earth or if it was there in Revelation chapter 14 when Jesus came down upon Zion itself and there the 144,000 were present, John didn't see them. He heard the number and he calls out the number, 12,000 for every tribe. Now the interesting point about when he lists the 12 tribes, I don't know if anyone caught it, there's one tribe missing. The tribe of Dan. And why was the tribe of Dan not in this list? Now that there's a lot of different thoughts out there, a lot of different meditation upon that. Some would say they would go back to Genesis chapter 49, and there when it describes Dan, it describes him as a serpent himself, and they maybe speculate that maybe the Antichrist comes from the tribe of Dan. Could we say that definitively? I couldn't. I couldn't be dogmatic about that. But one thing we do know about Dan, that when they entered the land and they possessed it, it was a tribe of Dan that took a Levite there in the book of Judges and made him a priest unto an idol and introduced idolatry to the children of Israel and brought idolatry into the land. Now, is that the reason why Dan is excluded from this list? I can't say dogmatically, but there is a lesson or something for us to learn there of the warning of idolatry. Now, I will say this before I move on from Dan, and I'll leave this for you guys to meditate and to think. The tribe of Dan is found in the book of Ezekiel. There at the end, is it not? When the land is being partitioned out to each tribe, the tribe of Dan is there. What that means, why they're not here, why they're there, I could not tell you. I leave it to the Spirit of the Lord, the Holy Spirit, and I leave it to you to meditate. So we have the 144,000. And then we have the second portion of this scene. And he looks and he sees this multitude that could not be numbered. A multitude from every nation, every tribe, every tongue, every kindred. And it goes on to describe this great multitude. The multitude cried out. And they said something very particular. It said, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. And so the question goes out in your mind and in my mind, who is this multitude? Where do they come from? In fact, one of the elders taps John on the shoulder and says, do you know who they are? John says, do you? Because I don't. And he tells us. And praise be to God, his answer is, these are the souls that come out of the tribulation. Amen. These are the souls that are martyred in the tribulation. Now, when you consider the grace of God in our day, how he graciously looks upon wretched sinners like you and I and plucks them as a brand from hell, to think that he continues to seek to save lost sinners all the way to the end. His work never ends. To the very end, he's seeking to pluck a simple amber from the fire. This is not the church, brothers and sisters. These are all saints that come through the tribulation. It was an innumerable multitude. It's quite a harvest. You know, it is said of this multitude, they cried, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. And it says that everybody in heaven, the 24 elders and the four living creatures, bow down and worshiped and paid homage to our Lord and cried out, amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen.
Amen.
What a cry. When we begin to understand who these men and women were, these men and women were saved through the tribulation. Not from it. They saw the rebellion of humanity. They saw the wrath of God being poured upon the earth. It's no wonder there at the end of the chapter, there it's said of that multitude that they serve continually before the Lord there in his temple. And they will never thirst and hunger, it says. Could you imagine these groups of people never took the mark of the beast? They could not buy or sell food. They knew what it was to be thirsty. They knew what it was to be hungry. You know, I can't help but to imagine these saints, these souls, going through the tribulation and reading this chapter. Oh, what comfort will it be to them? Regardless of what the circumstances may be, how difficult and bleak things may be, to know that there will be a time in which they will not be hungry, they will not be thirsty, that the sun that heats and burns their head. Well, one of the bowl judgments, the sun will burn people. And lastly, he shall wipe away the tears from their eyes. The experience of these souls, the things they'll see, the loved ones that they will lose, the tears they'll weep during that time will all be wiped away. And forever be found in communion. He will dwell with them. And they shall serve Him. What a beautiful thing that is, brothers and sisters, to have unhindered fellowship with our God. There's a lot more that we can speculate here, but personally, myself, I don't feel comfortable. I don't have enough of a grasp of this, of these portions and these things and these symbols, brothers and sisters, for me to do so. So I will leave you with those thoughts, and I would welcome any comments and thoughts or additions to this, brothers and sisters. Brothers. Yes, yes, Brother Tim.
Well, I don't know, there's probably a lot of people, maybe some of you have read that or saw that series Left Behind.
Yes.
Remember that?
Yes.
You know, it's interesting because that was going around quite a bit in Ireland. Read some of those books. But you know, one thing that I did get was that verse that you were talking about. You know, that in this big plan of God, that this is the only way people will get saved. And we often look at, oh, God's pouring out His wrath. No, He's doing it because He loves.
That's right.
Mankind. And this is the only method that will get them to be with Himself.
Amen.
The love of God expressed even in His wrath.
Beautiful. Amen. Yes, brother.
This great multitude, you suppose they were saved by the ministry of that 144,000?
Yes, it could be by the 144,000. It also could be by the two witnesses and even the angel, I would say. Right, it does. It does flow. But can I dogmatically say only by the 144,000? I don't know. I mean, the two witnesses are there, right? Anybody want to add to that question? His question was, were the multitude led to the Lord by the 144,000? Possibility, that's what I said. Correct, yes. Correct. Yes, brother.
I would agree with that. If they were these 144,000, like you say, they're across the pond, when they add three different verses in Revelation, they eliminate that. Start first in chapter 12, verse 17. Of the dragon also went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God. Mm.
That's right.
The church is the testimony of Jesus. But this verse has got it together.
That's right.
The commandments of God and the testimony of Jesus. Let's go to Revelation chapter 20, verse 4.
20, verse 4.
These 144,000 go through
Right.
And then they go through all the world. And again,
Jews are saved also.
Right. Jews are saved. Gentiles are saved.
That's right. That's right.
But also, Bob has helped add to the answer to Jack's question. Because that verse in chapter 20 and verse 4 talks about Moses being beheaded for the witness of Jesus.
Right.
144,000 are sealed.
They're sealed. That's right. Correct.
So these are others who have the witness to testify.
Right, and so many of them will be executed because of God's
right.
wrath is coming on the ungodly, and the ungodly are destroying all of these people.
Well, the 144,000 will undoubtedly be the, you know, have a major
right.
influence evangelistically.
Well, isn't it like it is today? You get a preacher.
Somebody gets saved and they tell somebody else.
During the tribulation, those 144,000 eventually end up in the throne in heaven, chapter 14.
Chapter 14, amen.
Yeah, so just keep that in mind.
That's right.
14:6 play into the equation. One of the verses says the exact same thing, 14:12, here's the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. Greek verses say the exact same thing. Commandments.
Amen, brother. Thank you for the comments.